I'm TJ Myhill. I'm an attorney here in I'm TJ Myhill. I'm an attorney here in Atlanta. I deal with intellectual property issues, internet issues, and other types of technology law. I've been practicing law for 10 years. So I'm here to speak on the idea of revenge porn. This is an update. We actually started talking about this last year a little bit, giving you some information on where things were headed and where it looked like states were going. States have gone there to some extent, and I think we may be worse off than we were last year. So I'm going to give you a bit of an update, but we're also going to kind of start from ground zero for those of you who are coming in fresh, who weren't here last year or may not really even be familiar with the issue at all beyond seeing something cool that said porn in your program. Also, it is just me this year, so those of you who came back from last year hoping to see Sarah in her rogue costume, I'm sorry to disappoint you, you got me. But hopefully I'll give you all the same information, and it'll be a very enlightening panel. So let's start a little bit with what is revenge porn. That's tricky. It really doesn't have a specific definition. Most people are using it to deal with the situation of, some angry ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend takes your pictures, puts them up on one of the specific revenge porn websites where they then embarrass you and post all your personal information and generally harass you and make you pay to take your pictures down. But the problem is that that's certainly revenge porn, and that's certainly the most talked about issue because that's got really all the bad things working in it. But it also deals with the issues of what if you just put it up on a website that's not a revenge porn website. They're not out there to try to extort you and get money and make you pay to take them down. Somebody just throws them up on, wherever, random image boards, Reddit or 4chan or somewhere. Well, you don't want them there either. That's also revenge porn. But it's not specifically tailored to a targeted website. What about the guy who just texts those pictures out to all his friends, texts them out to your coworker, send them to your boss? That's revenge porn. But is that covered by anything that anyone's talking about? That's really the problem. Is there are lots and lots and lots and lots of things I can do with your naked pictures. And only a couple of them are getting legal attention. And only a couple of them have any real legal resolution. And as I'm going to tell you, not even those ones we're talking about really have a lot of real legal resolution. So this is a major problem that is a product of the digital age. When I was young, if somebody wanted to send me a naked picture, we had to use a Polaroid. Or we had to go, get them taken through the Walgreens photo processor. And you knew that those were going everywhere, so you just accepted it. And no one, got terribly extorted by one blurry Polaroid. So this is really a creature of digital photography and the internet. And like most of our laws, we're not prepared for digital technology and the internet. So now that we know what the problem is, let's talk about some of the things that have been done, things that we mentioned last year and still are trying to do as we come into this panel. One of the things that is happening is that states are starting to bring in their own law. At the time we met last year, only California and Florida were even talking about it. Florida's failed. It didn't pass. California's did pass, but it passed with a gaping hole in the sense that it was only illegal if somebody else took your picture. It was illegal for me to take your naked picture and post it, but it wasn't illegal for me to take a naked picture that you gave me and post it. That was completely okay under the law that they had put to try and stop this process. Well, that's turning out to be a majority of revenge porn. One of the things we talked about last year, maybe it's turning out to be a majority because you all took our advice, great. But one of the things we talked about last year is the difference between whether you've taken the picture yourself or whether someone else has taken the picture, because that makes a critical distinction in copyright ownership. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but that, as it turns out, has been also a major dividing line in the California law. And it turned out to be a real issue because in California, the research was suggesting that up to 80% or more of these were selfies. And the law didn't cover those in the slightest. So California is now trying to update its brand new law to try and cover that. In the meantime, 11 other states have also passed some form of law trying to deal with revenge porn. So that brings us up to a grand total of 13 out of 50. And every single one of them is different. They're all built off of a different claim. They're all built off of a different underlying law. What I mean by that is some of them are dealing with invasion of privacy laws, existing in privacy laws. Some of them are dealing with existing harassment laws. But the problem with harassment laws is harassment generally requires a continuing trend of behavior. I can't harass you once and give you a cause of action. I could probably harass every person in this room and then walk away, and Georgia can't do anything about it. But if I come find you all again next week and harass you again and do it again the week after, then you'll have a cause of action. But if I just throw your naked pictures up and leave them up there and never do anything again, am I the one harassing you? Now, if I put your naked picture up there with your Facebook, with your Facebook address and your email address and your name and home address, are you going to get harassed? Probably. And maybe you can do something against those people who are harassing you, but that doesn't stop, it doesn't do anything about your picture that's out there or the guy who put it up originally. So, you know, again, I'm not saying that those laws won't work. They may be trying to tweak them to cover that in this instance, but that's something that makes a big difference on what kind of underlying law each state is using. The other problem with using a right of publicity or a right of privacy question, well, what happens if I take a picture from here down? Can you tell it's me? If you put my name on it, you sure can. But again, what if I don't put it to one of the revenge porn sites where they put your name and Facebook information? What if I just stick it up on the internet and you don't really want it there? Is there a way to tell it's you? Is there a way to tell it's you that you want to show a judge? That's something that really might be a problem to enforce those privacy and publicity-based criminal laws. So all of these state laws have their own pros and cons. And I'm focusing on the cons because the reality is that anything that's good about the law is good. And if it works, it works. But it works in a very limited sense for a very limited scope of people. What we need to do is encourage there to be some type of uniformity of law, some type of single uniform law that each state could adopt and make their own so that we know what you're going to get state to state. We know what they're going to be based on. We think about what this really requires as a resolution. And that's something that's just not happening. Each state's doing their own thing. They're not really paying too much attention to what the other states are doing. And it's creating these categories and distinctions that someone who lives in Arizona is going to have a very different issue than someone who lives in Hawaii, than someone who lives in New Jersey. And that's not a very good situation when you're dealing with an internet-based wrong, when you're dealing with an internet-based crime. Where you live shouldn't dramatically impact whether or not you have any remedies at all, much less whether those remedies are going to be successful. But that's where we are. So there have been some more state laws coming out. There's also some talk about federal law being changed or reconsidered in terms of the big revenge porn sites. The Is Anybody Down? The You Got Posted. The guy from You Got Posted got arrested right after last DragonCon. I don't know what happened with that because, of course, it's criminal and I haven't seen any final resolution. But it was an arrest. It was for harassment. It was particularly because he was telling people to pay him $500 to take their pictures down. They treat it as extortion. And when you have an extortion claim, that's a pretty good claim. Yeah, that's a pretty good criminal activity to try and get the website. Because that's really the key. And all the other criminal sites, all the other criminal things that are being passed are targeting the person putting the image up. Well, that stops that one guy in that one instance, but it doesn't it doesn't solve the problem, because there's going to be plenty of other guys, probably in other states that don't have that law, who are going to be willing to put images up. So targeting the website itself is a much better way to eliminate the problem. But Section 203, let me double check that. I don't want to tell you the wrong one. Section 230, I'm dyslexic. Section 230 of the Communications Act prevents actions against websites based on what other people put up there. So if I put images up there and the website can say, oh, it wasn't me, I didn't have anything to do with it, then the Communications Act actually limits or prevents actions that you can bring against that website, both for a civil claim and also for criminal claims. So that has been a real problem, because again, that just gives the websites, they didn't take any of these pictures, they didn't upload any of these pictures, all they did was put up a site to say, hey, feel free to post some pictures, and people did. So that's perfectly okay, and in fact protected under the law we have. So how do we address that? Well, one court has addressed it in suggesting that Section 203 doesn't apply to websites that are their sole purpose and their patent stated mission is to have people upload illegal things. In this case, illegal photographs. But that's just one court in one district that has no full bearing on any type of other courts. It's got no precedential value in other cases. And it's something that other courts can consider, but it's certainly not binding. And it's certainly not binding on Congress, who is ultimately the people who say what the law says and doesn't say. So it is a good idea to consider, but again, that gets us into a pretty gray area. What's a website that's soliciting for criminal activity? That's one of those things where you want to protect something, you want to protect people from something that's really kind of shady and not ethical in the slightest. But you end up capturing websites that everybody likes and just has, a section that talks about marijuana. And, oh, well, let's take that one down too. And, there's plenty of concerns that can arise out of that, from First Amendment considerations to other communications provisions that would be impacted by such a decision. And again, no one's actually made that decision. That's just one district court has suggested that it shouldn't apply in that circumstance. So that may open the door for more civil claims against these websites or more criminal action, such as was done on the owner of You Got Posted. But where that's going to go may not be any better. So here's what we're dealing with. We've got a mismatch of state laws and federal laws that all work together to create almost no remedy whatsoever. And it doesn't look to get any better, because no one making the laws understands the technology. And really, no one making the laws understands the issues. And that's sort of something that I say every year on multiple panels in here. It's one of those things where getting involved, if you have a strong opinion, if you have been a victim, or you have, don't want to be a victim, or you just want to make sure that other people don't get victimized, then speak up and maybe talk to your state representatives or congressmen, because it's something that we need to be more involved in informing our politicians about the issues from a more intelligent background. So it's something that I think is if you're all in this room to find out what the laws are and why we don't have good laws, well, then here's how you make good laws. All right. So what do we do? What's the best remedy so far? strangely, their best remedy so far is the one I told you first thing last year was going to be terrible. When we first opened this revenge porn panel last year, I said that the only thing that really governs this that's got any use is copyright law, but copyright law isn't really going to have a lot of bearing. I was wrong. And I was wrong because it turns out that I thought that there was going to be certainly some percentage of selfie photography that was involved in the publication of revenge porn. But I thought that at least a substantial amount of it would be pictures that someone else took of you. And why that's a distinction for copyright law is because that's who owns the copyright. The person who owns the copyright is the person who shot the photo. Doesn't matter whether they used your camera. Doesn't matter whether it was on your phone or their phone. It doesn't matter if you were both in the same picture. Who pushed the button? Who caused the shutter to close? Or whatever cameras do these days. That is the person who is the owner of the copyright. And that is the person who can enforce the copyright remedies. So that means that when I said earlier, 80% or more of these are selfies, that's a fantastic remedy for now 80% of the victims that have come to light in this process over the years. So they have a remedy that is far better than anything that exists in the state or any states that have passed law so far. They have the ability to get the pictures taken down. None of the state laws really provide for that. There's lots of criminal activity. There's lots of criminal charges. There's lots of criminal fines that can be levied, and that's great. Now I know the guy who took my picture and put it up there, and he's been arrested, and he paid a fine, and maybe he's even in jail. And I'm so very happy that he's in jail while my picture is still online, and my name is still up there, and everyone is still calling me and harassing me. So that didn't really solve the problem. It got him punished for his wrongdoing, but it didn't solve the issue that I'm most concerned about, which is the fact that my ass is on the internet. So how do we fix that? Well, we fix that with the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act has a provision called the DMCA takedown. And you follow the DMCA takedown procedure. And what that is you fill out a form with certain information. You certify that you are the copyright owner. And when you sign a sworn statement saying that I am the copyright owner, you have a website showing my copyrighted image, and I demand you take it down using this form language, then the website has to take that picture down or disable access to it within a reasonable time. And if they don't do that, then they make themselves liable for copyright infringement claims. Copyright infringement claims, of course, can include up to $150,000 per infringement for statutory damages in a proof of willful infringement. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But that's a big risk. Any website who says, okay, well, I've put five of your pictures up there, you might tag me for $150,000 for each of those pictures, plus attorney's fees, plus I got to pay my own attorney's fees, maybe I'll just take your picture down. So your picture comes down. And now maybe nobody's in jail, and maybe nobody paid any fine, but you know what? Your picture isn't on the internet anymore. So that's probably the best remedy for people who are victims of revenge porn. It's not a perfect remedy, because you can only do it if you're the copyright owner. You clicked the button. But it's a better remedy than most states are offering us right now. It's also not a perfect remedy, though, because the DMCA provides a countervailing provision. It's called the DMCA putback. So once I send a takedown, somebody else can send a putback. And the person who can send a putback is the person who's posted that content in the first place. See, when I send a takedown, the website's going to notify the person who put the content up and say, hey, it's been taken down, you've got this claim, be aware of this. If you object, please file these forms. And if that person files the putback forms and swears that, no, in fact, they do have the rights to those copyrights, you transferred them to them, or they took the picture, or they own them, or however it works, then the picture goes back up within a reasonable time, and it will no longer come down until there is a copyright litigation proving one way or the other. Now, the upside is, in order to put it back, they've got to give you their full name and legal address, and you'll... Excuse me, just one second. Let me just finish. The full name and legal address and information so you can find them. But now that I've found them, I have to sue them. And if I sue them, I have to, well, in order to get to court, the work you're suing over, that copyrighted image, that artwork that you're contending that you're going to sue for infringement, has to be registered. Registered means it has to be registered with the Copyright Office. That means that your picture's in the Library of Congress. So it's not on the internet. Well, it's not exactly private either. And if you want to get those statutory damages, it had to be put up within either before the infringement occurred or within 6 months of the time it was created, if the infringement happened within 6 months. So generally, you don't get statutory damages either. Yeah.
Somebody sends me a picture and I take a picture of it, do I then own the copyright on the second picture?
I'm sorry. I don't understand the miming. So, were you okay? Yeah, she's got the
microphone.
Okay, now I heard first picture, second picture, and
so
frantic waving. So
somebody sends me a picture. I take a picture of it. Do I own the copyright on the second picture?
No, because your second picture is a derivative work.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Sir? Well, that's a tricky question. You might own the copyright to that second picture in the sense that I couldn't then use that second picture either, but it would be a derivative work of my first picture, so you couldn't... It gets to be a convoluted chain, but no, you could still take it down and prevent copyright ownership if that was the... If they thought they'd outsmart the system by... Yeah, no, that's not going to work.
Does someone who is the victim of this have remedy based on the ownership of their likeness?
In some states. We talked a lot about that last year because we thought that was going to be kind of the best image rights that you had, is a right of privacy or right of publicity. Those are two sides of the same coin. We treat them the same because not every state has, well, some states have a right of privacy, some states have a right of publicity, some states have both. And what you have kind of depends on how many famous people you have living in your state. It's true. California has great rights of privacy and publicity. New York has great rights of publicity. You know who has some of the strongest rights of publicity? Tennessee. Because, boy, do we love us some Elvis. But if you live in California or New York or Tennessee or Georgia, frankly, we have pretty good ones because we have Martin Luther King, then you have pretty good remedies. If you live in Wyoming,
New Hampshire,
I don't know what New Hampshire's is, but I don't know what Wyoming's is either. It just sounds like a place where no one would have any rights to privacy or publicity. I apologize to anyone who lives in Wyoming, but I really don't, because you live in Wyoming. Then your rights may be much, much harder to enforce. They might be not nearly as restrictive or nearly as protective to that right of your image. The other problem is what we said before, if your face isn't in the picture, what publicity and privacy is being, obviously your privacy is being invaded, but can you prove it's you? Can you prove that there's some connection? You get up on, you got posted and they got your Facebook account and your name and your address and your birthday and everything else put there. Sure, great claim. Your picture is up on Reddit somewhere. Tougher, unless you want to prove that's you.
Hi, just curious. If I hacked into the site and took the pictures down myself, would I then be liable for the charges associated with?
Yes, you would. Yes, you would, because their site is perfectly legitimate under Section 203 of the Communications Act, 230 of the Communications Act. So it's a tricky animal to get to some of these websites, and that's why they exist. And frankly, if this you got posted thing actually ever turns into some legitimate effort to create an extortion claim or a harassment claim or even to amend that section of the Communications Act, well, then what's going to happen is we're just going to change our format. Right now, it's pretty common for me as a revenge porn site owner, I'm not, this is a hypothetical, me as a revenge porn site owner to say, hey, send me all the pictures you've got, but if you send me the picture, you've got to send me their personal information, you've got to send me their Facebook, you've got to send me their real name, and preferably a picture of them, you know, with their face in it, even if that one's clothed and the other ones aren't. So I can really make this person not like my site. Because the more they want their picture off my site, the more they're going to be willing to pay me. And so people will email me and I'll say, sure, I'll take your pictures off. Pay me $500 and they'll come off next Tuesday. And some people will. And some people do. And that's pretty slimy. But the reality is people have been doing that since the dawn of time with mugshots on the internet. So it's a pretty lucrative business. But if it turns out that we have managed to get that made illegal in some way, well, then I'm just going to say, oh, I guess I'll have to make do with my advertising revenue. I'll stop extorting you, and I'll just make lots of money off your naked pictures. So, you know, we're going to keep changing the format to find one that skirts the law, and we need to keep trying to figure out a way to now, the nice thing about a DMCA takedown, too, is that multiple, you know, multiple claims can cause problems. So if you make multiple claims to a website about one person who's putting them up, that person can be banned from the website, or that person can be impacted, or there's other remedies that can come about of that in some situations. But it's uncommon. You know, it's unlikely that guy had 15 different people whose pictures he were putting up there. Most people put up one. But there are ways to make the DMCA takedown notice against the ISP. And in this case, they're all defined as ISPs. So the website would be an ISP under the law too. But I'm talking about GoDaddy, you know, or whoever's hosting that website. Because you get enough claims, GoDaddy gets enough claims about your revenge porn site, they're gonna get sick of it and they're gonna act to take down your infringing material too. So that can impact their business model on that side. So it is a way to take some action, but again, taking action against the websites is the trickiest part of what we've got right now, and that's really the part that's going to make this not be a profitable and you know, a business model that people want to get into. Any other questions?
These laws seem to follow a model that we've seen previously, where internet speech is limited, and then it often goes offshore into countries like Iceland, Poland, many others. Won't this just push this kind of content outside the United States?
Yeah, that's part of the problem with each state having its own law, because I might not even have to go outside the United States. I might have to go to Ohio, you know, where the laws are more in my favor. But the nice thing is that what we're doing, either both with copyright law and the DMCA, and with the state laws that are being put in place, those states that have them, and many states are considering them. And I've said only 12 or 13 have them, but many states are considering them. They're trying to get one through. They just haven't had one pass yet. So since the states are taking some action, what we'll be able to do is criminalize the behavior of the person who's putting them up there too. So even if you got posted, or is anybody down, or whatever revenge porn 6.0 turns out to be, when they go over and share server space with the Pirate Bay and we can't do anything about it, we can at least arrest, you know, this guy for putting the pictures up there. That's what you get for sitting in the front row. So that's the nice thing about the state laws. There's plenty of problems, but having that state law in place means that I can take action against that guy who lives in that state who put my pictures up there. There's a hand back there.
Say, for instance, if somebody has the copyright of the picture that they put up, if you, like, say they actually took the picture of you, would a way to approach it that would have any backing would be maybe lack of consent to take the picture in the first place? Would that be a legitimate claim?
Well, that's your right of privacy and publicity type claims. And yes, the extent that's it. Actually, that raises a good point. One of the very good claims that you can make is, especially if it's not your picture and you don't have rights to the copyright, is a consent-based argument. I was a kid. I was under 18 when that picture was taken. And if I was under 18 when that picture was taken, oh, not even the revenge porn websites want to deal with that morass. So they'll go ahead and take that down too. And, you know, that works if you're passively under 18 when that picture was taken. But if somebody takes my picture, that's not going to fly.
You had asked, or you mentioned that there are certain states that are attempting to pass laws to restrict this and such, but they haven't been passed yet. What is the opposition? What is the problem to getting this passed?
Not understanding. The idea of what we're going to do, what law we're going to base it on, what we're going to try to accomplish, how wide-ranging that can be, whether we're going to make it a very, very broad law, whether we're going to make it a very, very narrow law. You know, just like any other thing in the legal process, there are people on both sides who have their own opinions, and that's part of the problem. The other issue, you know, is you're trying to weigh these things out, and you're saying, I'm trying to pass a state law, but I have to consider, as I'm passing this state law, am I going to run afoul of the First Amendment? Am I going to run afoul of the Communications Act? Am I going to run afoul of the Decency Act? All of these things create issues for lawmakers to try and balance out these processes. So it's not like anybody sitting in, you know, the State House of Florida and said, no, I don't want to pass this law because I love revenge porn. Some people might be thinking that, but they're not saying that. But what they are doing is just engaging in the political process, which is, well, you know what it is.
Is there any kind of grassroots organization that you could get involved in if you're interested in trying to help advocate for these laws more in your state or at the national level?
That's a good question. Yeah, I haven't seen one. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. My research has been focused more on the laws themselves and the actual cases. I wish Sarah was here, because that would have been a great question for Sarah, because she did the privacy aspects, and she was a PR person, and that kind of would have been right up her alley. I am not aware of one. But if one exists, I'm sure it's on Google.
All right, so is state laws looking at it in the wrong function? Considering the limitation of it being by state, would it not be better to go through it on a federal level? Even though I know there's a lot of resistance situations like the SOPA and so forth, because it kind of overarching, but federal law does cover more of the interstate issues, and pretty much the internet is not limited to a single state. So
right.
Would that not be the best route to handle it?
It probably would, and that's why I did encourage, you know, some contact with your state Congress people to see if we can get some interest in that at a federal level. That being said, right, the federal government tends to overreach with everything we ask them to do on the internet. So I don't know that this is going to be a great place to do that. And, you know, it may be an easiest thing to try and amend the Copyright Act, but of course we've been trying to do that for decades on internet issues, and that hasn't really flown yet either. So, yes, it is something that ought to be done at a federal level, because that uniformity is the key to any type of effective action against revenge porn producers and publishers. But doesn't exist yet.
Hi. Moving kind of beyond this, trying to handle what's already happened, what about, you know, activities that might not necessarily be, you know, pornographic, but just activities that you don't want posted out there on the internet? Maybe you went to Colorado, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you're with friends, and there's a lot of activities that you might not want out there on the internet. How can we still take these pictures, share them with our friends, and then, like, I guess the question is, what's the current state of, like, content redistribution restrictions in the photographic and maybe as well video mediums?
Well, what I would say is you should come, let's see, Sunday at 10 to the Right to Be Forgotten discussion. But really, no, there really isn't anything in the U.S. to cover that particular circumstance. it doesn't mean that there won't be as things progress, but right now, I would say the answer is just like it's always been. Don't put shit on the internet you don't want people to know about. If you send something to your friends and your friends put it on the internet, call your friend and say, take that down. I don't really want that up there. I mean, it's you could still look to the rights of publicity, rights of privacy, those types of claims, but it's a tricky area, especially for something that's, you know, that's true. You know, you were in Colorado and sitting at a bar somewhere. Well, that's not defamatory. It's not defamation if that's really you, really sitting at a bar, really smoking whatever you may have been smoking. So that's a tricky area, and I would say that the best thing for that is the same thing that I tell all of you, and we told you last year, is just be very cautious with your photographs. The internet is forever, and it doesn't go away. And even if we get these pictures taken down off the websites that are making the money off of them, somebody's downloaded them, somebody's put them up somewhere else, and they exist, and they're going to be there forever. So just think twice before you take pictures, maybe. We live in a society, again, digital cameras have kind of destroyed the world for privacy, because we used to have 35 millimeter film, and that cost several bucks a roll, and then you had to go spend, you know, $20 more to get it developed, and you really had to want to take a picture if you were going to spend that much money for it. Now, I mean, how many pictures does this hold? I take thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures, and, you know, every day, because I can. Why not? So it's just something that, you know, we've gotten to the point now where we take pictures of our food before we eat it. You have no limitations on the photographs, and so everyone's forgotten that maybe some things shouldn't be photographed. So photograph your lunch hot dog all you want. Maybe leave your other hot dog off the film.
Has someone constructed a boilerplate or other suggested template or guidelines that we can petition our local camera with and say, hey, here are some ideas for written laws to deal with this, so that perhaps the less competent technologists can have help?
Well, that would be a great thing, because again, what we don't have is a very good solution. So someone who wanted to put together that well-defined and well-thought-out proposed law would be a great help. I bet that would be that grassroots organization that she was asking about. So if it doesn't exist, maybe you two ought to get together after this, and let's get that going.
So we had one question about other types of content that people might want to prevent being redistributed online. What First Amendment concerns, if any, what slippery slope arguments, if any, do you feel might apply to the existing or the proposed state laws that First Amendment people should be concerned about going forward?
Well, that really is, like I said earlier, that I think that's one of the issues that's holding up a lot of states from making a law. Because this is a First Amendment issue. I mean, I took a picture. It's my picture. It's my art. I wanna share it. I have a right to that. I have a right to that speech. I don't have a right to your picture. So that's that's why taking these pictures yourself is the best thing you can do. So if you're gonna give naked pictures to somebody, at least make sure you took the picture yourself. But if I take your picture and I want to put it up, that is a First Amendment issue. And First Amendment can be limited, and in some cases is already limited, to avoid certain types of speech. Revenge porn is certainly shaping up to be one of those types of speech that I think most people in the country are okay with limiting. But yeah, it is a risky area, because how much do you put out? What do you limit? What do you eliminate when you limit the bad stuff? Do you write your law so broadly that you know, any pictures that anyone takes of their wives or girlfriends or boyfriends or husbands turns out to be an illegal act. That's a problem. We have the same issue, of course, now with, you know, you've got child pornography laws, and I am a 15-year-old boy, and I send a picture to a 15-year-old girl, and she sends a picture back, and now we both have child pornography in our phones. And there have been efforts to prosecute kids for child pornography while they're underage, and it's them. So it's a tricky area, because there's stuff we don't like. Nobody likes child pornography. But that stuff we don't like bleeds into other stuff that exists. And when it bleeds into other stuff, it creates a nightmare for guys like me to try to figure out how that law applies to prevent the bad stuff, but kind of look away from the good stuff. Or not good stuff necessarily, but there were other hands, anyway. I guess I answered everything. Oh, wait, here we go. The pothead has another question.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure that title's going to stick. Towards the second half of my question, though, I was wondering about the current state of, the technology. Is it possible to take pictures, videos, things like that? What is the current state of technology if you want to take that picture, video yourself, and you want to have some limitations on the redistribution of it, just watermarking as the simplest example?
Well, I mean, that is a question. That is a great question for a technology person who is not a lawyer, because I don't have a PowerPoint today because I don't know how to use PowerPoint. So I am not the best answerer of that. But what I'll tell you is that even the most we run into issues all the time in my business with DRM and other types of, you know, efforts to limit how many times something can be copied or how many times something can be sent out or how many times something can be so given that we've had lots and lots and lots of big multinational companies working on the best DRM and anti-piracy things that people can imagine. Clearly, piracy no longer exists, and digital protections are absolutely effective in every way. Right? No? Okay. So, I mean, that's the problem. You can probably try to make it more difficult with technology, and that's going to stop me because I don't know how to get around it. But it's not going to stop the guy who's both pissed off at you and technologically savvy from sending it on or posting it or there's always ways around. But it's not a bad first step because it is going to stop me, and most people who are just angry ex-boyfriends and not tech savvy. So that's a good idea. I just don't know how effective it's going to be when, you know, Sony can't figure out how to stop you from copying stuff. So. Well, we need a. We're recording. You need the box.
How difficult is it to transfer copyright rights from one person to another? And how effective is it?
I could write you up a piece of paper that has one sheet that has both people sign it, and you're good to go. An assignment of copyright is incredibly easy. The problem would be getting that assignment of copyright in this situation, because you presume that you wouldn't know you needed an assignment of the copyright in your image that someone else took until that someone else used it in a negative way, or you thought it might be likely, hey, I'm going to dump that guy, I bet I should get my copyright. That's going to be a very awkward conversation. So getting an assignment of copyright from someone who wants to give it to you is incredibly easy. But getting it from someone who doesn't want to give it to you doesn't happen. So,
I guess California yesterday passed the Yes Means Yes Act. And do you see that kind of rule maybe coming into this?
I guess I'm not familiar with that one.
That was on date rape. and now they're saying instead of no means no, that the other person has to continuously show consent.
Wow, that's going to be really, really hard to enforce.
So they call it the Yes Means Yes Act. They're already, of course.
Yeah. I am so happy I live in Georgia. And don't do criminal law. That's kind of the situation we're getting into here with the idea of consent to the photo. But the consent to the photo, obviously, we all know, anybody who's, you know, any of the states who've passed anything, anyone who's tried to take any efforts, know that the whole point here is that you're not consenting to having your image online. If you did, well, it'd be on your own website and you'd be making money off of it. But the problem that exists is, how do we, I've said no, now what do I do about it? And the states are doing their best to try and figure out ways to prevent that, but they really are just, they're jumping into the fray and not really looking at the big picture, no pun intended. They're not considering what the ramifications of their actions are. More importantly, they're not considering what their actions aren't covering, like California, who realize that selfies exist. As I said, I don't see, I have not read every state statute, and I'm not even going to pretend like I'm gonna, but I think that there's very, very few things that I've seen that have dealt with ways to get the pictures down. There's lots of criminalizing of behavior. Posting the pictures is criminal. Taking the pictures with bad intent is criminal. Taking pictures that don't belong with you and doing something with them is criminal. All of these things are being criminalized to a greater or lesser extent, but none of it's, gets my tits off the internet. So what do we do about that? How do we get the images down? And again, that's where copyright right now is our best avenue, so long as you can say you took the picture. We stare at people long enough to get questions.
You said most of it's been sort of litigated through copyright now. Has there been any long-term consideration for what happens when copyrights expire?
None of it's been litigated. None of this has actually gone anywhere. There has not been, to my knowledge, a copyright suit over revenge porn. There has been some criminal prosecutions. Again, that's a very difficult thing to see where those go. Because most of them settle and most of them are, so it's, I don't know if anything has actually been taken through on any of these cases, but certainly no copyright case that I'm aware of has gone through on a purely revenge porn scenario. And I think the first part of that is, as I said earlier, the keys to the courthouse door are, you have to register your photos with the Copyright Office, and that's something most people don't want to do. But it is. I got sidetracked. Now, what was your question? I got sidetracked by saying that these things don't happen. But I think your question still has an answer. So ask me the second part again.
Long-term ramifications for copyright.
Right. Copyrights don't expire. This is the U.S. As long as Mickey Mouse exists, copyrights will never ever expire. As a practical matter, I mean, they really don't. If you take a picture today, it's the life of the author plus, what are we up to now, 95 years? 75, yeah. So it's a really, really long time. And trust me, 100 years after you're dead, you don't care if your picture's on the internet. I hope. I don't know. Maybe I'll really be upset about it, but. Okay.
Looking forward at how these laws are being developed, and ideally perfect world, let's say 20 years from now, 50 states all have nice consistent laws about criminalizing all of this, how effective do you see it in actually providing a disincentive to make people more reluctant to do this, as opposed to enforcing it and punishing them after the fact?
Well, I think that is... that is a factor of what the law provides. And obviously, some things are, we are maybe less inclined to murder people because I don't want to get the electric chair than I am to speed because I don't care if I get a $200 ticket. on the other hand, maybe we're just better people and we wouldn't all murder people if we wouldn't get, let's hope. But so I don't know. I think part of that's going to be the deterrent factor of whatever law is passed. But part of it's going to be the deterrent factor of people thinking that this is what you do. You know, I think the problem we have now is that we have the digital culture. We don't value the picture as much anymore. And I think we've gotten to the point now where so many people think that, oh, well, I got dumped, so I guess I'll go share that photo now, is just the thing to do. It's just part of breaking up. And that's something that I think as it becomes more criminalized, whatever the deterrent is, then at least you're going to get people of, you know, some morals and ethics who will say, maybe I shouldn't do that, instead of being pissed off one Tuesday night, throwing it up online, and, you know, and probably not wanting, you know, regretting they did it on Wednesday morning, but I did it Tuesday night, and I did it on one of these scummy sites, and I can't get it down either. So, you know, that's the real issue, is I think getting people to think twice about, why am I going to put this photo online? I'm pretty pissed off right now, but maybe I should wait and think about it a minute.
You mentioned there's a lot of criminal stuff involved. Has anyone looked at it from a RICO standpoint?
Well, the only people who would be liable for a RICO claim would be the websites, because you've got to have multiple acts. And again, I suppose there's some guy out there who's done this to, you know, every girl he's ever dumped and has multiple acts, and that's, you know, probably exists. But it seems like much more of this is, I've got it, I've got this picture, I put this picture up, I'm done, I'm not involved in the situation anymore. So the RICO claims would be much more targeted towards the websites, which as of right now are protected by Section 230 of the Communications Act. So it's not a very clear remedy. And that the same goes for civil. I mean, again, your question was that there's a lot of criminal actions, but civil actions are the same. I can, if you put my picture online, I can sue you civilly for the, you know, right to privacy, right of publicity, if my state has some good laws there. Again, it's not really defamatory, but it's one of those things that maybe I get a remedy, maybe I don't from you, but my picture's still online. I can sue the website, but they're going to hide it behind Section 230 and say no civil action. So until that, either until that one district court's opinion gets more widely accepted, or until the Congress or the FCC or someone revises their opinion as to what is allowable and what is not, this type of behavior is perfectly legal on the websites. And I say that. It's a bad thing right now. You know, we're talking about these nasty revenge porn sites and all the bad things they do, but the reality is that law exists to protect every other site on the internet where users post content, and the websites need to be protected, or that doesn't exist. You know, the web as we know it ceases to exist the minute people can't put content on a website anymore, or the minute I'm liable for the content you put up. I'm not going to let you put content on my website if I'm going to be liable for your content. So that's why the DMCA provides that safe harbor. That's why Section 230 exists. That's why these things are there. So I don't want to give the impression that Congress has, you know, caused these problems, because these problems exist because the bigger picture is a good thing.
How feasible is it to just say, hey, I mean, I know it sounds kind of extreme, but, you know, anyone who has an image posted anywhere has to give written consent? I mean, is that even remotely feasible? I mean, I know it sounds insane, wow. But, you know, if you made that law, you could go in and have an agency go in and say, hey, look, you don't have documentation stating that this person's allowing you to post their image.
Where's that file cabinet going to be? Because it's going to be about the size of the moon. It's the reality of the internet. I mean, we've got a million. I can't even think of a number big enough for the number of pictures that are on the internet right now. Also, can cats give consent? But ignoring that, the issue is that would be a nightmare of record keeping. That would be a nightmare of making sure there wasn't any fraudulent information, and not to mention the fact that, you know, we've all just had pictures taken. Now we got to get a waiver from everybody in this room for Scott to put it. Well, yeah, that is this work? I can't keep this on record, and I can't prove you're you. So if I had to have a signed consent to say, it's the yes means yes question all over again. Do you have to keep saying yes? Do you have to keep giving me you have to send me in a new one every year, or do I have to take your picture down? It would get incredibly unwieldy.
What about when you say there's copyright laws are the best avenue right now? What about how much is that affected by where the sites are hosted? So if I'm in Canada, but my pictures have been posted on a site hosted in the U.S., what can I do about that?
Well, your foreign copyrights can be protected under U.S. copyright law, so that's one thing. But again, registration. Here's the nice thing about the DMCA. The DMCA says you have to swear that you're the owner. It doesn't have to say that I swear that I am the owner, and then it's registered, and then I can sue next Tuesday if it doesn't come down. That's sort of implicit in the DMCA. But the rights to copyright exist when you create the image. And U.S. copyright law respects copyrights created in other countries, whether they're registered or not registered. So your image is still going to be subject to a DMCA. You can still do that. But again, that's sort of the tricky area of the state by state, jurisdiction by jurisdiction laws. The UK is working on their own revenge porn laws, and they're just as bad as ours right now. So I mean, it's one of those things that honestly, I sit up here and tell you how bad everything is, but like everything else on the internet. I'm going to tell you how bad it is, but I don't have a better idea. So there's not really a great solution to the issue, because every solution just opens another door that I'm going to come back next year and bitch about instead. So it's one of those things that I don't know what to do instead, but what we're doing now isn't really cutting it. So DMCA is our best avenue, and you can still use it from Canada, I guess.
Something I'm probably that I'm not understanding is, someone is found criminally culpable for having posted something on a revenge site, and then the images remain up there. Does not them being found guilty criminally automatically open the door for a cease and desist on what is essentially ongoing criminal behavior?
Well, but the question is then, who's doing the criminal behavior? Putting the website, putting the images up on the website was criminal behavior. Having the images on the website is not criminal behavior, because the website's committing no crime. If I arrest a cocaine dealer, no, it's because they're protected. You would have to take action against the website to get it taken down. And I think that's what most states are dealing with, is they might recognize that this is not solving the ultimate issue of getting the pictures taken down. But you have to take that action against the website, and the websites are protected by the Communications Act. So certainly, if my ex-boyfriend gets arrested for putting my pictures up online, and I have him incarcerated, and he's paid the fine, and he's adjudicated guilty, and everything is absolute that he is liable under state law, am I going to use that to try and get the website to take my stuff down and write lots of threatening letters? Absolutely. Am I going to be successful? Who knows? And if they blow off my demands, do I have any rights to take some further action against them? Who knows? Not that I'm seeing under the laws that exist right now. But again, these laws are in flux. California's had one for less than a year, and they're already changing it because they've recognized the problems, and that's part of the lawmaking process. So hopefully, as these problems show their face, we'll take some steps. But for right now, yeah, we're in limbo.
Okay, we've got time for one last question now. So,
Would it be feasible to have either the victim or a third party acting on their behalf
report the person posting the photos to that person's ISP as being abusive. Would that be feasible?
Yeah, well, that is, and again, as I said earlier, that's part of the benefit of the DMCA, is that's who you send the DMCA takedown notice to, is that person's ISP. Now, in this case, you would send it to the whatever site is hosting your picture, but you can also send it to the infringer's ISP. You can send it to the website's ISP. It's not as, you know, the effective one goes to the website because the website has to take it down. But you send them to the other sites, and they start saying, "God, you're a pain in my ass, and maybe I'm going to cut your service." All right. Well, the nice thing is we only have 12 states, so we'll probably do this again next year and see how many more we have till then. If you have any other questions, feel free to talk to me afterwards, and thanks for coming.